May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is concerned about and wants us to be concerned about what is on the inside of ourselves. What's going on? On the inside, what is your internal condition? This is what counts. Everything else on the outside will really be determined by what is going on in the inside. Fascinatingly, this dynamic of spiritual health, what is happening on the inside as to what is really important, parallels our physical health. If we have a disease or a virus on the inside, then we, of course, experience all kind of external symptoms on the outside. And these go on to impact our entire interaction with the outside world. Again, what is inside is what really counts. If the inside is good, then the outside is good. Even if the outside brings all kinds of challenges and problems, we experience the ability to cope when we are healthy on the inside and experience the fruition of God's word, that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All of this is consistent with today's Old Testament lesson from Deuteronomy chapter 4. The Lord spoke to his people Israel, and yes, indeed, he was concerned about how they lived on the outside, keeping his commandments and actually doing them, but what was really important was their receiving and inculcating the Lord's word. So at verse 9, the Lord says in our Old Testament reading, "Only take care and keep your soul diligently." That is to say, forget about the external obedience if the internal condition is not right. So again, what's really important, it's what's on the inside. The epistle from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, is a veritable tour de force about this principle. The six pieces of God's armor are really extensions of your internal faith, your internal spiritual security. Number one, the belt of truth refers to your speaking the truth. The Greek word for truth can have different applications. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, it's about the practical speaking of truth in the sanctified life. But from where do your words come from? They come from your heart. The internal conviction that leads to the internal volition that you will speak truth and not lie. And again, when you do that by the grace of God, the devil has less to stand on in accusing your conscience. You're protected that way. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness refers to your righteous deeds. Again, the Greek word for righteous and righteousness has various applications, but here it's a sanctification application, which protects your conscience against the accusations of the devil. But again, from where do these actions spring? They come from the heart. They come from your seat of volition, and in the case of the Christian who has the grace of God, from the Holy Spirit who produces those impulses from the inside. Number three, the shoes of the gospel of peace Refer to your commitment to take the light of the Holy Gospel with you wherever you go in life. You resolve to travel with the gospel, be it at work or school or wherever you are, but again, such a practice requires internal commitment and conscious discipline. These come from the inside. Number four, the shield of faith. It speaks for itself, right? Where is your faith if it is not within your heart? The seat of your decision-making, what you accept, what you reject, what you trust, the place where you make decisions as to what you will pursue or what you will avoid. These things spring from the heart. You trust in the Lord, not in the things of the world. Number five, the helmet of salvation is your internal constant hope that looks up to God in Psalm 121. My eyes look up unto the hills. Where shall my help come from? My help shall come from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that helmet of salvation has you looking up all the time. Number six, the sword of the Spirit is your reliance upon the Word of God. And yes, in a sense, this Word is preserved outside of you objectively, of course. But in this case, there is a living faith, a fides viva, within us that yearns for this Word, prays that we would remain steadfast in it. And as a result, we claim this faith on the inside as our own. And thus, we are able to confess it. And all of these in Ephesians 6 are wrapped up in prayer. And those prayers come from a heart of faith, because prayer is the heartbeat of faith from the inside. Now, with such a clear overview of the paramount importance of the inside, we start to anticipate where this sermon is going. This morning, Pastor's going to tell us how to get our inside right. I'm going to tell you how to adjust your inside, how to align your internal condition. I'm going to give you steps and principles for achieving internal spiritual health. I'm going to give you some work to do to get your insides right. A spiritual form of drinking the green stuff for those of you familiar with digestive cleansing. Right? No. I'm not going to do that. Because Scripture says that your insides are already, and the precise word in the Bible is, defiled. Too late. The green stuff isn't going to help anymore. Our Savior tells us exactly what's going on our inside. And it isn't pretty. When Christians are misinformed and they carry on as if they're going to fix up their insides, they're kidding themselves. From our gospel reading this morning in Mark 7, our Lord Jesus said, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." It's too late for me or anyone else to try to tell you how to clean up inside. Our insides are a mess. Several years ago, we had this amazing golden retriever collie mix, a beautiful dog. Her name was Savannah, a fantastic dog. She was a great watchdog. No burglar would dare approach our home with Savannah around. She was tremendous with small children. They could tug on her fur all day, bounce on her stomach, and she didn't care. A truly smart dog, a great family dog. We loved her. But she did have her idiosyncrasies. Whenever we would give her a bath and see her brilliant coat pop out again, she would invariably look for dirt. She just had to roll around in the dirt. She had this practice ingrained in her. It was stuck to her instincts and her mind. She wouldn't change. She couldn't change. That, as they say, was just the way she was. People experience similar conditions. Hopefully not literally rolling in dirt, but We have internal maladies that just don't seem to go away. There are a myriad of internal, emotional, and mental patterns that raise real struggles within us. It's easy to classify these as non-spiritual. But all that is bad and causes suffering in our lives come from sin. For example, PTSD, which is very real and needs to be taken very seriously, wasn't around before the fall of man. Yes, we treat many of these things with the tools, the God-given resources. Thank God for good therapists and good psychiatrists and good doctors. But they represent our internal struggles and how our inside condition can seem very constant with these struggles, these internal struggles. They're real. If anyone ever tells you, well, if you have enough faith, you won't have to have any of these things, run away from them. But this is the very point of our Savior. He is the great doctor, the great healer. So He begins to bless you and me with a good, true, accurate diagnosis. We're defiled from the inside. He tells the truth. He doesn't beat around the bush. Defilement here in our gospel from Mark 7 is not a physical problem, but a moral and spiritual condition. It means for something to be impure or unclean. St. Paul confessed his inner defilement in Romans chapter 7. And just to be clear, at Romans 7, he was writing as a converted apostle. This is not Paul prior to conversion, as some want to say. Not at all. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. St. Paul describes the condition of defilement and this is one of those typos I have to call to your attention, unfortunately, and his inability to fix himself. He understood, in other words, why Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Our internal condition is overwhelming. It's a cesspool. And St. Paul, therefore, also knew why the psalmist prayed as he did, as recorded in Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And here we get a clue as to what the only answer to this situation is. The parallel gospel to Mark chapter 7 is Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15 adds an important element not found in Mark chapter 7. Just before Jesus elaborates on the internal heart condition of all people as to why they are defiled, he offers a couple of short parables, two short parables. The first of the two is in Matthew, but not Mark. That first short parable is this, top of page 17, very short. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. The answer is that God must plant or create something other than the internal condition that is already there. That is, and to put it as simply as I can, God must plant another internal condition so that the Christian winds up with two insides. I know that sounds a little crazy, but it's true. It is what the scriptures teach. It is what we must know. We want to be tidier on our inside. We want to eliminate the old internal condition and replace it with a new condition altogether. Some people misinterpret the meaning of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. This, however, does not mean that the old internal condition has been eradicated. It simply means that before God in faith, your old internal condition is treated by God or considered by God as no longer binding. That is, in God's eyes, it's dead. In other words, God does not hold the old, evil, internal, messed up, cesspool condition against you. Do you still feel it? Of course you do. Are you still aware of it? We are. But God in Christ does not hold it against you. Absolutely not. But again, that's not all. The Lord has in fact given you another internal condition. It's called faith. This is a new, holy, and good internal condition. It's not a cesspool. It's God's gift that ensures salvation and your healing in the face of the other inside that attacks you. It's your protection. It's your greater identity. It is that part of you, that internal part of you, that holds to Jesus Christ as the answer to all of that messed up stuff on the other inside of you. To think that on account of Jesus, all of that internal crud, your evil thoughts, your fornication, your theft, your murder, your adultery, your coveting, your wickedness, your deceit, your licentiousness, your envy, your slander, your pride, your foolishness, all of these evil things within that once condemned you and definitely defiled you, Jesus took and claimed as his own while he died for you and me on the cross of Calvary. So when Luther taught the pure gospel, he taught it this way. This is the most joyous of all doctrines, and that which contains the most comfort. It teaches that we have the indescribable and inestimable mercy and love of God. When the merciful Father saw that we were being oppressed through the law, that we were being held under a curse, that we could not be liberated from it by anything, he sent his Son into the world, and he heaped all the sins of all men upon him. And he said to him, "Be Peter the denier, Paul the persecutor, blasphemer, and assaulter, David the adulterer, the sinner who ate the apple in paradise, the thief on the cross. In short, be the person of all men, the one who has committed the sins of all men, and see to it that you pay and make satisfaction for them all." Our cesspool inside became the property of Jesus Christ. Now, as far as the Father is concerned, you are clean. What he counts is the new inside, the other inside, the inside marked by faith. This faith trusts this simple truth. God no longer condemns me. He no longer sees my bad side. He now counts my good inside. His gift to me of faith in Jesus is that which makes me his child, his beloved child, and as far as he is concerned, his cleansed child, his washed child. This is who you are, Christian. This is your real and greater identity. God doesn't call you to clean the old inside. He's given you Jesus instead, who made it his own. And now your new inside, your faith in Jesus, lives in the full armor of God. Treats God's law not as an obligation, but as an invitation and a delight. And knows that on account of Jesus, this new inside is the one that really counts. This new inside means to the Lord, you are no longer defiled, but you are his holy one. He has said so on account of Jesus. Rejoice, live in this faith, and let your new inside lead you to live for Jesus. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand to confess our faith.